Blog Talk Radio.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning.
Good afternoon, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. That was Fernando Ortega singing Give Me Jesus. And yes, that's what we want. We just want Jesus, folks. Keep the world. Keep the lust. Keep the fame. Keep the riches. Give me Jesus. All I want is my Savior. And I know that that is your sentiment also. That is your sentiment also. Because, you know, when all is said and done, fame fades, fame vanishes, riches are used up, glory, power, it's fleeting. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. And this world has a way of tempting us, trying to lure us away from the Savior, from what counts, from what really matters, from what is of eternal value. But we have got to keep our focus on the Lord. Well, today is it's going to be kind of a unique broadcast in that I'm going to be pouring out my heart, and not that I don't do it on other broadcasts, but we're going to be just talking today. There's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of wonderful things that are going to happen in the next couple of weeks that I want to share with you. And, you know, I love the church. I love God's people. And I've been praying for some time, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm a warrior. I've always been a fighter. I've always fought for the little guy in the church. And I've always defended the lambs and the sheep at my own cost, at my own expense. I have lost many a job as the minister of the gospel. I have lost many of friends because I wouldn't stand for abuse. And that's why I'm on radio. I'm on radio because I can speak my mind. I can share my heart. I can wear my emotions on my sleeve. And nobody can tell me otherwise. I love the Lord. I love his people. And we've just been on and off on internet radio, really with no budget, with no sponsors, no partners, just doing the work of the Lord, just battling and building, battling and building. And we've been putting out this series of books on the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church, and things just seem to be getting worse and worse. The more we do, it seems like the less people care. And if you love God and if you serve his people, you're going to suffer from depression. You know, there were two major prophets in the Bible. Two major prophets whom some even think are the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that will appear at the end of time. The book of Revelation speaks of two great witnesses for God. And some people believe that one of those witnesses will be Moses, and another one of those witnesses will be Elijah. There's going to be two of them. And they're going to be working together simultaneously against the forces of darkness in the last days. And if it is true, if it is Moses and Elijah, we don't know. Others think that it could be Enoch and John the Baptist. We don't know. I mean, there's speculation. We know that there are two witnesses. And of course, the great majority of the scholars believe that it is Moses and Elijah that will appear in the last days to wage war against Antichrist. Of course, the Bible tells us that Antichrist will kill these two witnesses and mock their bodies and will leave them unburied for 3 days, but then on the third day, they will rise from the dead. You can read it in the book of Revelation. And if it is Moses and Elijah, those two great prophets, two of the greatest prophets God ever graced the church with. Well, when you read Numbers chapter 11, go and read Numbers chapter 11. You will see that Moses asked God to kill him. He said, you know, I'm tired of ministry. I'm tired of leading these rebel people. I'm tired of being the go-between between you, God, and them. You're always angry, God, and you're angry because they're a stiff-necked You're always angry because they're a stiff-necked people. They're a wayward people. They're a wicked people. They're unthankful. They're unruly. They don't praise you enough. They don't give you the glory due to your name. You delivered them from Egypt, and at every turn, they're looking to go back to Egypt. So Moses was depressed. And Moses asked God, he said, God, just put me out of my misery. Kill me. And you can read that in Numbers chapter 11. And he was overburdened. Moses was overburdened. And that's what ministry will do to you. You know, you're laying everything on the line to preach and teach, to bring people out of Egypt, to bring people out of bondage, to bring people, you know, out of the house of what the Bible says, the house of bondage. And then when you pull them out, they want to go back. They want to go back. They want to sit under those bishops who beat up on them. They want to sit under those leaders who fleece them and con them. And it's depressing. It's depressing. And the same thing happened with Elijah. You know, Elijah prayed, and the heavens were shut. Think about that. Here's a human being, and he prays. And according to his prayer, God shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. I mean, this guy was earnest in prayer, Elijah was. And he prayed, and God arrested the economy of the day. The economy of the day was agricultural based. So if there's no rain, the crops dry up, the animals begin to die off, there's no water for the animals to drink. So when you bring a famine on the land, when you as a prophet pray to God that he would rebuke his people by means of a famine, you're jacking up their economy. You know, but when Elijah prayed that God would jack up the people's economy, you know, Elijah's economy was also jacked up. This is why you read that God said, go hide by the brook Cherith. Go drink water from the brook, and I'll have the ravens feed you. Not 3 times a day, but 2x a day. And then after the brook dried up, God said to him, now go to a widow's house and go hide in this widow's house. Go to Zarephath. Go hide there. And she fed Elijah pancakes every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, can you imagine that? You live in someone's house for a year. You're living in someone's house for a year, and you're eating the same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The very fact that the widow's oil did not diminish and the flour did not diminish was a miracle. Just like the ravens bringing Elijah food was a miracle. So, I mean, the prophet was in dire straits. And when you serve God, I mean, and you pray that God send a famine, because, you know, when God strips people of their money and of their possessions, then they start thinking, you know, they start coming back to God. But when you pray for a bad economy, it gets bad for you too. But Elijah was a man who was not interested in self. He was interested in the kingdom of God and in seeing people worship God. And for those of us who are prophetic in nature, for those of us who don't stop fighting for the cause of God and for truth and for honor, we take it on the chin. We sacrifice. We make enemies. All we have to do is smile and go along with the program, and we'll get our paychecks on time. But the moment you begin to protest, the moment you begin to say to the bishops, the pharaohs of the day, the Lord said, let my people go, you're in trouble. I've been in trouble for 30 years, folks. I've been in trouble for 30 years. And I have vowed never to go back to Egypt. I have vowed never to be part of the church system as long as it remains corrupt. If God sends a revival and the church is radically changed, I'll go back. If church leaders' hearts are turned back to God, I'll go back. But as long as their hearts remain wicked, as long as these leaders remain self-centered and abuse the people and fleece them day and night, I want nothing to do with that kind of a church. And so this is why we're on the radio. This is why we do these broadcasts. So I just want to make an announcement. Coming March the 1st, just a couple of days from now, come March the 1st, I'm going to be reviving the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. Now, we have started that broadcast in 2014. You know, it's 2017 now. And way back in 2014, I started to record on Block Talk Radio, and the program was called Daily Manna from Heaven. And I would teach for 2 hours the Bible every day. And we taught different things on the program. So I'm going to revive it only because the Lord is encouraging me to feed his people. And this broadcast is not a feeding broadcast, folks. This is not a feeding broadcast. Although you do get fed, I have to admit. But the main goal of this broadcast is to protect you from wolves. The main purpose, you see, pastoring, which is what I do, pastoring is feeding the flock, nurturing the flock, leading the flock, guiding the flock, deworming the flock, healing the flock. That's shepherding. But then the other side of shepherding is fighting against wolves. So this program is designed to fight against the wolves. This program is designed to sound the alarm and to let the sheep know that predators are on the way, that the abusers are on the way, the con men are on the way, the fleecers are on the way. That's what this broadcast does. The feeding broadcast, the one in which you get the word in good doses, where you spiritually get built up, that program is the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. And it's been on and off only because, again, the finances have been on and off. I've been pretty much like Elijah. I'll have a raven or two, and I keep the program growing. And then when the ravens are gone, when the love gifts stop, then, we stop it because I can't. There's no way for me to maintain it. And you know me, if you know me since 2014, I don't beg. I don't cry. So we're going back to Daily Manna. We're going to keep these two broadcasts. We're going to keep this one going. This is a very, very important broadcast. Very important. We're in the last days. We're in the last days, and the wolves are multiplying. The false prophets are multiplying. Satan's double agents are multiplying. So we need to keep this broadcast going. I need to do everything I can to get on the air every day and to talk about Nehushtan bishops and jackass bishops. I need to talk about these things. I need to warn you. You know, when you read Acts chapter 20, and Paul's farewell sermon to the Ephesian church, he says, I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. Paul was with that church for 3 years. Paul was with the Ephesians for 3 years. He was their pastor. He founded the church, and he was their pastor for 3 years. And for 3 years, he did not stop from warning them night and day. You read Acts 20. Because just like in Paul's day, I need to do the same thing because the wolves are multiplying. So I need you to pray. Pray. This work is very depressing. This work is very, very, very depressing. On the one hand, you know, I go into prayer. I have certain times of the day when I go into prayer and I go right into the presence of God. And, you know, I derive so much strength from being in the presence of God, of being on my knees, of talking to God, and knowing that I'm doing what he wants me to do. It's so uplifting when you're in the presence of God. It's so uplifting when you're on the mountaintop and the glory of the Lord is there. But it gets discouraging when you come off the mountain and you go down and you find the people dancing around the golden calf. So there's highs and lows in ministry. There's highs and lows. But I have been praying. I've been asking God. It's been almost a year now. In April, it would have been a year that we haven't done a broadcast on Daily Manna from Heaven. But I need to revive it because I need to feed the flock. I need to empower the saints with truth. We need to continue to shine as a light in the midst of darkness. So, at this time, before I get into the broadcast, I want to play 1 Kings. I want to go to the audio Bible, and I want to play 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, so I want you to open your Bible. And I want to show you that even a man like Elijah was depressed. Elijah told you that Moses in Numbers 11, I want you to read Numbers 11 in your spare time. And in Numbers 11, Moses said to God, I can't take this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't go from being in your presence and feeling your power and then being among the people and seeing how indifferent they are to you, for your purpose for them. Because what God was doing, he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for the people. And what Moses was doing, Moses wasn't doing for himself. He was doing for the people. But the very people that you're sent to minister to are the people who many times just want to go back to Egypt. Ministry, folks. That's the reality of ministry. That's the reality. And you have your highs and you have your lows. And this is why all true preachers must have a deep-rooted life in prayer. Because you got to get a hold of God. I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of God. So once again, I'm going to try to revive the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast only because there's an overwhelming need to feed God's people. And that broadcast, it's going to be a two-hour broadcast every day because it's called Daily Manna from Heaven. And during those 2 hours, I'm going to do three teachings. One, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you the daily manna of the day. I'm going to give you your food for the day. The first hour will be the daily manna portion. The second portion of the broadcast, I'm going to do some teaching on prayer because I want to get you, the listenership, back on your knees. I don't want you on the $1,000 line because the fake preachers are going to tell you if you get on the $1,000 line and you sow, then God will deliver your child, God will give you your breakthrough, you'll get your wealth transfer. And I'm here to tell you that nothing can be further from the truth. The way you get your wealth transfer, and there are wealth transfers, folks, there are, but you don't need to sow seeds to get them. You can get your child delivered. There are deliverances, but you don't need to get on the line and sow any seed. There are breakthroughs intended for you. There are breakthroughs, but you don't need to pay for them. They're free. All you need to do is ask for them. Segment of each daily broadcast, I want to do some teaching on prayer. I want to pull up a scripture on prayer and show you how prayer ought to be the cornerstone of your life. So we want to do daily manna, and we want to do prayer. And then in the third segment, I want to do whatever God puts in my heart. So I want to give you, think about daily manna every day as having a little bit of mashed potatoes and having a nice steak and then having some green beans. So think of three things on your tray right now. A little bit of mashed potatoes and gravy, a little piece of steak, nice piece of T-bone steak, and some green beans. And that's what I want to serve you every day, so that you can get strong in the Lord, so that your faith will grow in God. Because that's what the scriptures do. The scriptures draw you closer to God, and then they encourage you to trust in God and to cleave to God and to believe Him for the impossible. So I'm going to go back at it again. I'm going to try it again. And I'm hard-headed. I guess I'm hard-headed because, I keep going back and I can't continue it. And then I revive it again. This is going to be the fourth time I'm reviving it. And I'm going to pray that from now on, it stays on. I'm praying. My heart's there. Things are worse than, when I first started in 2014, things weren't as bad as they are today. But things are worse. Things are worse. So I need to go back to feeding the flock. I need to go back. So I'll be sharing more. And as you know, when I did Daily Manna from Heaven, you would get a weekly email from me. In that email, there was an attachment. You had the outlines for the 7 days. All of the teaching that I did was in an attachment, and you had an outline for each day, and all you had to do was listen and fill in your blanks as I taught the Word of God. So I'm going back to being Radio Shepherd. I'm going back to being Radio Shepherd, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to feed you until you're content, and I want you to come back. Draw closer to the Lord, be encouraged, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want you to walk with Jesus. I want you to fellowship with the Lord. And so I'm going to do everything in my power. So I covet your prayers. Now, I want to play 1 Kings chapter 19. I have my audio Bible here. I want to play 1 Kings chapter 19 from verses 1 through 18. And I also want to show you that even Elijah, even the mighty Elijah, who again, I go back to the fact that many scholars believe that the two witnesses, the two mighty witnesses of God in the book of Revelation are Moses and Elijah. If that is the case, these two men, when they were alive, these two mighty prophets of God, when they were alive, when they were in the full throes of ministry, they too asked God. Moses asked God to kill him. Moses said, God, just put me out of my misery. And the prophet Elijah said the same thing. And you say, well, brother, where is that found? Well, it's found in 1 Kings 19. And I want to show you how depressing ministry can be. And this is right after, the prophet Elijah killed 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. God gave him a great victory in 1 Kings 18 on Mount Carmel. And after that great victory on Mount Carmel, after the great Mount Carmel victory, after that great high, when he extinguished all of the false prophets and got rid of all of the false prophets in one contest, in the next chapter, he is so depressed and he's asking God, put me out of my misery. Put me out of my misery. It's the same language that Moses used. So let me play for you. Let me play for you 1 Kings 19. Starting at verse 1, and we want to go to verse number 18. Open your Bibles, and I pray that you'll be blessed with this scripture reading.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him.
And there you have it. There the prophet is depressed, and God speaks to him. God finds him, and God says, Listen, I have 7,000. I have a remnant. I have an underground church. I have a people who have not bowed down to Baal. So I take comfort in those words, and I say, Well, Lord, let it be according to thy will. And I'll go back and do what you want me to do. We'll restart it. And we pray that the people will receive the daily manna and that they'll tune in and that they'll get fed. Because, saints, you and I know that there is a famine. There is a famine of the word. There is a famine of wholesome word, of a life-giving word, of a biblical word, of a rightly divided word. There is a famine. And I'm a shepherd at heart. So I'm going to prepare. I'm going to prepare outlines. And we're going to go back to emailing our outlines. I'm going to get, you know, if you want the outlines, then you have to email me at manna4today14@gmail.com. The word manna, the number 4, the word today, manna4today14@gmail.com. Get on that list. And for those who subscribe, it's free. I'll send you the outlines. You'll get a weekly email from the ministry, and in that weekly email, you open it up, and there'll be an attachment. And when you look at the attachment will have 7 outlines for 7 days, and we will feed you. We will teach you the Word of God. We will empower you. We will encourage you. We will properly motivate you in the Lord. And we're going to do all of that because we're in the last days. And there is a famine of the word. And I'm committed. I'm committed to putting out the daily manna. And all you have to do is tune in and tell others. Tell others about the broadcast so that they too can be fed. Well, saints, listen, part of the discouragement, And we have to be honest, we've been putting out these books on the Roman Catholic invasion of the church. And the second book, which we recently put out, we put it out on February the 1st. And it's been 20 days that the book's been out. And it is starting to pick up. It's starting to pick up momentum. There's beginning to be an interest. But for the first, I would say, 15 days, there was really no interest, no buzz, it was slow. It was slow in coming, but the numbers, people are going to the website. And by the way, if you have not been to the website, I encourage you to go visit the website. It has the ministry logo. Go to paganbishops.com. We just hooked it up. We just fixed it. We just did some additions to it. There you'll find the name of the sponsoring ministry of these radio broadcasts, which is Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. You'll find our logo there. And so go check out the website. Go to paganbishops.com and look at what we've done. And if it's beautiful, if it's nice, drop us an email and let us know that you like the changes that we've made. So, like I said, we released the second book on February the 1st, and there was really no major interest for the first 14, 15 days. I did a number of radio broadcasts. But there really wasn't. There wasn't a buzz. It wasn't like Jackass Bishops. It was not like Jackass Bishops. But now we're beginning to see that people are tuning in and are beginning to put some attention towards this book. Now, you know, Jackass Bishops was only 13 chapters. Nehushtan Church Bishops is 16 chapters. Think about that. Jackass Bishops was only 199 pages. Nehushtan Church Bishops is 266 pages. Jackass Bishops only had 179 footnotes. 179. Nehushtan Church Bishops almost has double that. It has 329 footnotes. So a lot more effort, a lot more research, a lot more writing, a lot more editing, a lot of prayer went into putting together Nehushtan Church bishops. And I thank the Lord that now there seems to be we're turning a corner, because now people are starting to give it some attention. Now, what is a Nehushtan, you ask? A Nehushtan is an idol. That's what a Nehushtan is. A Nehushtan is anything that God gives the church, and the church turns it into an idol. So what does this book talk about in a nutshell? Basically, what this book is saying, God gave the church the office of the bishop. The office of the bishop is a legitimate office. It is a biblical office. We can find it in the New Testament. It is there. It is legitimate. But in 2,000 years, evil men, and by evil men, I am first pointing to the Roman Catholic Church. The evil men within the Roman Catholic Church took the biblical office of the bishop, and they so perverted it and twisted it that they turned bishops into gods. And if you are worshiping a man, then the man is a Nehushtan, the man is an idol. And we're not supposed to be worshiping anyone but the Lord. And when you look at our churches today, our bishops in many, 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 many of our churches are looked upon as though they were the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. Their words count more than the words of Jesus. People sit at the edge of their seats every Sunday, listen to the foolishness that comes out of these bishops' mouth, and fail to open up the New Testament to hear what came out of the mouth of Jesus. They can care less about what Jesus said, and they're only interested in what the bishop says. That, my friends, is idol worship. That, my friends, is a Nehushtan in the church. And so this is a riveting, riveting, riveting book. It is 16 chapters long, and I want to read to you the synopsis. And if you go to the website, if you go to paganbishops.com, you can go there and you can read all of this for yourself. But I'm going to read it to you since you're tuned in. Now, let me read to you what the synopsis of the book says. Nehushtan Church Bishop sets out to answer the one question many saints want answered. How did Christ's church go from having humble pastors that served to deified diva bishops, which must now be idolized and worshiped? Nehushtan Church Bishop charges, and rightly so, that the kind of bishopric being showcased today in many black churches is a highly paganized version of the ministry gift Christ gave his church 2,000 years ago. Author Moses Henry Jones makes his case by first showing how the brazen serpent God ordered Moses to make was turned into an object of idolatrous worship by the apostate Israelites. Mr. Jones then demonstrates how, in like manner, biblical episcopacy has undergone a severe debasing at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church, and how this perverted template has made its way into the leadership ranks of the African American church. In deriding contempt, King Hezekiah called the brazen serpent Nehushtan, meaning nothing more than mere brass. It is not surprising that Mr. Jones calls today bastardized template of the bishopric Nehushtan church bishops nothing more than mere silly men. Hezekiah hammered to bits the Nehushtan of his day, and so too does Mr. Jones, obliterating with each chapter he has penned the rubbish that pawns itself off as New Testament Episcopacy. Nehustan Church Bishops is a prophetic read that will prove to be the voice of reason for all of the brazen-faced blowhards who in their delusional state of mind parade about in episcopal robes, expecting all who gaze upon their apostate persons to bow down, kiss their episcopal ring, and worship. Nehustan Church Bishops, another Moses Henry Jones book that will garner intense scrutiny and much outrage from the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. My friends, that is the write-up to the book, and the write-up is fantastic. It is 16 chapters. Now, let me just read to you what these chapters are. Chapter 1, Everything God Made and Gave Was Very Good. Chapter 2, The Book of Numbers. Chapter 3, God's Brazen Serpent. Chapter 4, God's Brazen Serpent, The Type of Christ. Chapter 5, Satan Perverts God's Brazen Serpent. Chapter 6, God Gave His Church Serving Bishops. Chapter 7, Christ Gave His Church Humble Bishops. Chapter 8, The Rise of the Monarchical Bishopric. Chapter 9, Satan Perverts God's Bishopric. Chapter 10, Satan's College of Nehustan Bishops. Chapter 11, Nehustanism in the African American Church. Chapter 12, Nehustanism's Initiation Kiss. Chapter 13, Beware of Satan's Nehustan Makeover. Chapter 14, The Need of the Hour, More Hezekiahs. Chapter 15, A Final Word to Nehustan Church Members, and that final word is leave. Chapter 16, A Final Word to the Nehustan Bishops, and that final word is repent. 16 riveting chapters, my brothers and sisters. And so, on the outside, from the outside, from the enemies, from those who hate this book, we're already getting word that they are taking notice of the book. And, of course, taking note of the book, they are blasting the book. So we hope and pray that if you know of anyone who needs to read this, that you would direct them to the website where they can get a PDF copy for a donation of $15. And in so doing, you'll be helping us put out the other books. You know, there are 12 books in this series. 12 books. 12 books, saints. And there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said about the Roman Catholic invasion. The Roman Catholic Church, in my opinion, is Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. It is the apostate. It is the harlot church of the book of Revelation. And this harlot church is making tremendous inroads into our local church fellowships. And this is why these books like Jackass Church Bishops, must be read by the membership. Books like Nehustan Church Bishops must be read by the membership, because only then will their eyes be truly open to what really is going on in the church today. And this is why we are putting these books out. We are doing these teachings. We're on the air. And by the way, folks, if you didn't get a list to listen to the Friday broadcast, I want to encourage you, listen to that recent Friday broadcast. In fact, listen to all of the Friday broadcasts. Each one of those Friday broadcasts is a gem. And we thank God for Sister Marie, who has joined us in this great fight of faith and in the preaching of the gospel and of the warning of the sheep. I thank God for my sister every day, for her encouragement, for standing shoulder to shoulder on the front line, fighting the fight of faith. And we need more like Sister Marie. We need other saints. We need other saints who can say, hey, listen to what the scripture says. Come out of Babylon. Come out of the harlot church. Come out. before it is too late. Because God's word says to come out. In Revelation 18:4, God says to come out of the harlot church. We're not saying it simply because we don't have anything else better to say. We're saying, we're only reiterating what the Spirit of God said in Revelation 18:4. And God said to come out. And if God said to come out, then we need to remind you to come out if you haven't come out. So that's why we need to write these books. And you know what's so sad, and you know what's so depressing, and you know what's so discouraging? That this year, 2017, marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And are you hearing anybody talk about that? Are you hearing anybody celebrating the Protestant Reformation? Are you hearing anybody making mention of the 500th anniversary and how we should go back to our Protestant roots and how we should reaffirm our Protestant roots? No, sadly, saints, there are very, very few people. And we happen to be one of those groups. We're one of those groups reminding everyone that 500 years ago, Martin Luther was in the fight of his life. And he wasn't just fighting for the people in his day. He was fighting for people today. Because what he did set in motion, what he did 500 years ago, this coming August 31st, set in motion your freedom, my freedom in Christ. And so we need to commemorate that Reformation. We need to commemorate it. So I want to encourage you, pray for me, pray for the books, Jackass Church Bishops, pray for the book, Nehushtan Church Bishop, pray that people will read it. Pray. Listen, folks, we're just not putting out these books just to put out books. We want people's eyes to be open. If their eyes are opened, their lives will change. The moment their eyes are opened, the chains are broken. They'll be free. They'll come out of Egypt. They'll come out of those pharaonic churches. They'll come out of bondage. But they need to read something that will open their eyes. And that's what these books do. They open people's eyes widely. So I'll be back tomorrow, saints. I want to leave you with Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson's one of my favorites. And he sings, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And I'll fly away. Remember, today's big announcement is that we are reviving the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. Now, we got a week before we actually do our first air broadcast again. So I need you to pray. I need you to ask the Lord, bless the program, Lord. Bless the outlines. Speak to our brother on what he should be sharing with us. You pray, I'm praying. I'm excited. I hope you get excited. Visit the website. Drop us an email. Let us know if you like the website the way it looks. And remember, if you want to get on the email list for the outlines, email us at manna, the word manna, the number 4, the word today, the number 14, manna4today14@gmail.com. Say, put me on the outline list, and we will put you on there. And as soon as we start sending out those emails, you'll get your email with your attachment, and you'll be able to listen every day to the wonderful broadcast. I leave you again with Alan Jackson. Are You Washed in the Blood? Don't forget, this coming Friday, Sister Marie will be back with us. We're going to be talking about the Seven Mountain Dominion Heresy. You don't want to miss Friday. Friday is going to be a fantastic broadcast, as it is every Friday. Love you, saints. God bless you in Jesus.
Are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you washed? Live.